You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill. Local sports, national sports. The GCAT is on it.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Now, saddle up for a tall glass of sports talk. Here's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hola, amigos. It is hour number two. If you want to chime in, the number to call is 800-998-1003. At ESPN Radio, NOLA is the way to chime in via Twitter. Got plenty to get into. Jordan the intern to my left, cutting feverishly sound. Alex Anzalone, Haolo Hikikaha, Marcus Williams. Of course, head coach Sean Payton, even Josh Hill spoke after practice. We'll try to get you that before the hour ends. Head coach Sean Payton did like what he saw today on the field.
It was our first red zone install. I thought overall it was pretty good. I thought we had good energy. Obviously, coming back inside, there'll be a lot we can coach off of on this tape.
My three quick thoughts on practice today. Easily, the defense being a vocal presence and a lot of big plays being made. Another interception. We'll touch on that here in a second. Second thought, Kobe Fleener, a no-show. Is it concerning? I'll touch on that a little bit more. And, of course, my two plays of the day, Drew Brees showing why he is so good at what he does. And I keep elbowing Jordan. I'm like, pay attention, son. Look at why Drew Brees is so good. So I keep elbowing you to see what he does and all the nuances of being the quarterback and playing that position. And the other play of the day, both of them, by the way, 60 yards. Brees to Corey Fuller and 60 yards, Adrian Peterson. I'm giving him the touchdown. Straight up the middle, bouncing off of linebackers and tacklers and just bumbling, rumbling, and stumbling, like Burtman used to say, all the way to the end zone. And he did it quickly. Seeing him line up places, make passes, and wheel route catches out of the backfield. Adrian Peterson's going to be a weapon in his offense. Alvin Kamara is what he said yesterday. And he's going to be a weapon. And Mark Ingram's had a very, very good training camp, especially pass catching out of the backfield. Head coach Sean Payton.
Listen, his running skill set is every bit we were wanting, but I think clearly he's developed as a receiver, and his ability to get out on choice routes or stretch the coverage with wide routes. I think he understands protections real well, so it's helped him become more of a complete player.
And he's speaking about running back Mark Ingram. Adrian Peterson, as I said today, had a solid practice. He's looked good all training camp, folks. He only had that one Veterans Day off, and that was the day he spoke with us back over the weekend on Sunday, and he was just all smiles, just literally just ear to ear, man, about the different options on this offense and how he's going to be able to face defenses so differently than he did all those years in Minnesota. I've been saying it over and over again. He's not going to face stacked boxes. He's not going to have multiple defenders waiting to pop him when everyone knows where he's going to go. You're not going to have that. And like I said, you see him today lined up in a certain area in that slot kind of flanker formation, man. What do you do if you're a defense? I mean, who's getting the ball? Where is it going? And if that safety moves or a linebacker moves a certain way and gives Drew Brees a second of time, because on that play, Brees went to his third option. One play, one there. He looks over the middle, fires to the left. He knows where he's going. The defense, good luck is the way you look at it. But that run, man, that I told you today, it stood out to head coach Sean Payton.
There's a rotation, obviously, in camp. When you're at 90 players, you have a large group of running backs, and the reps he's taken, though, have been impressive. Today was pretty physical. It wasn't, to the ground, if you will, tackling, but, there certainly is a temperament to his style, and you feel it.
I like that. A temperament to his style, and you feel it. It is. Like I said, I go back to one of the first training camp practices. I want to say it was Thursday. Yeah, first training camp practice, man, where he goes off the right guard there. It's funny because that run today was off the right guard. You know who's there, right? Mr. Ass and Mass himself, Larry Warford. That's what head coach Sean Payton called him. He went right in there through that right guard, and there was a hole back on last Thursday, a week ago today, and you know, it wasn't tackles, no pads, and Stephon Anthony's there to make the play, wraps him up, but AP dipped his left shoulder, and man, I mean, number 50 kind of took a step back or two. You know, just Peterson's is a load, and when he gets to speed, that was the other thing that stood out to me again today, being there on the sideline looking at it as close as we are. When, and for you folks out there to go see the open practices this weekend, because today and tomorrow is closed, Saturday, Sunday, which has been moved. I'll get to it in a second. Pay attention to little things like that. How fast does he get to the handoff when Drew Brees is trying to get it? That's something that stood out to me, man. He is, you know, bent over a bit. The hands are on the knees, ready to go at Hutt. And when Brees calls for the ball, I mean, he's off. He's off and running. And I was wondering out loud if that's having to been an adjustment for Drew Brees, how fast you have to, you know, turn around a little quicker for him and make sure that you're turning and getting ready to hand that ball off and all that timing that you have with the running backs. You know, it seems like something you don't really think about, right, on a handoff play. It's not as easy as you think. You got to know where he's going to be, where to put that ball, and if not, you're going to, you know, bump into each other. But, man, he made some moves today. He's made a juke move the last practice as well. You really are starting to see what he can bring to the table. And, again, Mark Ingram's had a good training camp. Kamara is a way that you're excited to see him get the ball. The Saints have weapons, man. Saints have weapons. And as you know, we've touched on the receiving core and what they've been able to do. It's been interesting. 800-998-1003 is the phone number to call. Any questions about a player, toss them out there. I'll see if I can answer them for you. If you have any thoughts, if you've been to any of the open practices, I'd love to get your opinions here as well. At ESPN Radio NOLA is the way to follow us over on Twitter to chime in on the conversation. As we are live at Lakeside Toyota, as we are each and every Thursday for a Thursday Tailgater, we spoke with Bob Licht back at 1:15. If you miss any part of our show, just go and listen to our podcast, available on iTunes and also on Google Play and on SoundCloud. So all those different ways to be able to listen to our show. I mentioned Sunday, the practice has been moved. It was set and scheduled to be at Saints Camp, 8:40 to 11, and you had your tickets. It's been moved to Tulane Yulman Stadium, and it's going to be a night practice, 7 p.m. on Sunday. If you got those tickets, no worries, right? If you still have those tickets, you're going to be good. You still can get in. That's fine. You're guaranteed to get in. The thing is, as Coach Payton said, it's real easy. You have a little more room, right? You have a little more room. Instead of the 1,500 to 3,000 being sardined in to go check it out and being a morning, this is going to be an evening practice per the Saints release. The gates to Yulman Stadium are going to open at 6 o'clock. Parking for the practice will be available in the Diebold Garage, located on Ben Wiener Drive. If you come off of Claiborne, you take a right where Yulman Stadium is. There'll probably be signs past the baseball stadium, past the front of Yulman, and you'll see the parking garage. I'm guaranteed there'll be people directing you as to where to go. They're going to shut it off at about 7,000. Capacity for the practice will be 7,000. So 7,000 folks can go in there and check it out as well. So, look, it's something that Sean Payton spoke about after practice as to one of the reasons that he wanted to go out there on Sunday.
I like to change up for a night practice. I think it changes the routine up during the day. They're off their feet. And, you know, periodically, that kind of change, I think, is good for the tempo of your practice, much like coming in here today was. I think that it also, you know, it also gives us a chance to practice somewhere off campus and bring kind of, you know, our team to a different area. And I think, I know it's a lot more fan-friendly because your seating arrangement. So I think, number one, you're not limited to, 1,500 people. You can have as many people, and I think it's better for the fans. So the last time we did it, I thought was really good. So I think it'll be good for our fans especially.
Players after the practice will sign autographs, and I have always said, even though Jordan still asked, no, he doesn't. I'm kidding. I'm just using him as an example. We can't get anything signed, so you can keep asking. I can't. That's part of my agreement to get credentialed. Yeah, even Jordan the intern can't do it. but you can. And I keep saying that. The best opportunity is these practices. The players will go out there and they will, you know, they got a good 10, 15 minutes before the foghorn sounds and they gotta leave. But if you go there, you got a good shot. It is the only shot you're ever going to get Drew Brees to sign anything. So these open practices, get up there on the barricade. And for Drew, I know Drew, he'll walk around the barricade. So at least over at Saints camp at Yeoman Stadium, he might not be able to stay as long because they got to get on the bus to get back. But look, if you can go, who wouldn't rather go to a night practice, especially because I think there's going to be rain all day tomorrow, Saturday here as well, should be clearing up by Sunday. And in the evening, again, You got a nice seat, and you got some bleachers on the other side of the press box side of Yeoman Stadium. It'll be fun to go check them out here at practice. Quick break when we come back. Let's get into the specifics of practice here a little bit. We'll have to give you some of those observations. Again, if you got a question, just give us a call, 800-998-1003. If you want to tweet at us, it's at ESPN Radio Nola. We'll hear a little bit more from head coach Sean Payton on what he thought today's practice was sort of like and why this defense is starting to impress me a little bit. Even though they haven't tackled anybody of note, they haven't played a game, they still are impressing me. We're live at Lakeside Toyota. You're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
It's that time of year at Lakeside Toyota. It's tailgating season. Time to drop the tailgate and prices on every new 2017 Tundra. The Tundra is ready to get you to the big game in style. Plus, its spacious cabin will carry your team to the game in comfort. Lakeside Toyota is loaded up with a huge selection of tough Tundras. Every model, every configuration, and a Tundra to fit every budget. And of course, 2 years no-cost maintenance with any new purchase. Shop and save at LakesideToyota.com. Come down and tailgate at the foot of the causeway, Lakeside Toyota.
This Black and Gold training camp report is sponsored by Third Base Sports Bar, 1302 North Causeway Boulevard in Metairie. Third Base Sports Bar. Join our dart leagues on Tuesday and Thursday evenings.
It's not the sexiest of areas on a football team, but just last season, you saw the importance of having a good special teams. Will Lutz has improved and looks solid at kicker. Now, as to who's going to hold the ball for him, well, head coach Sean Payton surprised most by saying it's an open battle between Chase Daniel and punter Thomas Morstead.
Well, it's just like many of the other positions. Obviously, here's the benefit of the punter. The benefit of the punter is there's a lot of time on task that he has with the kicker when we're in other drills. Benefit of the quarterback, besides the ability to throw the football if something were to happen or if you wanted to, is, you know, there's a little bit more of an experienced, you know, guy who's used to calling plays that's in the huddle that can calm the group down. Those are the two guys we're looking at right now, and you know, I'm anxious just to see back and forth, you know, how the two of them are doing.
Returner is open as well. Coach's take on the battle?
Look, ultimately, you get in the scrimmage or the preseason and you really get a feel for, you know, the full speed cover guys coming down and how you can focus and what you can do with the ball when you have it. So the main focal point technique and you're really setting your feet and learning wind, learning sun, learning all these elements that you got to pay attention to. You know, Cleveland, you got to pay attention if you're a returner. It's different. You know, you look up and everyone in the crowd's wearing a jersey the same color as the ball. So you got to learn how to track a ball differently there than you would somewhere else. Those are all some of the things that, you know, we've got to be on top of.
We are just 1 week away from the Saints at the Browns to open the preseason. For more Black and Gold coverage, follow us on Twitter at ESPN Radio NOLA, our Facebook page, and ESPN1003.com.
This Black and Gold training camp report has been brought to you by Third Base Sports Bar, 1302 North Causeway Boulevard in Metairie. Qualify now for our $2,000 steel tip tournament on Saturdays. Third Base Sports Bar.
Are you a darts player? Then get into the game at Third Base Sports Bar at 1302 North Causeway in Metairie. Compete in our soft tip tournament on Fridays and our $2,000 steel tip qualifying tournament on Saturdays. Sign up begins at 8:30 p.m. Join our darts league every Tuesday and Thursday, or just come practice and relax with a game of pool, golden tee, and video poker. So dart on over. Yeah, we said it. Dart on over to Third Base Sports Bar at 1302 North Causeway in Metairie. Get in the game.
ESPN Radio. The biggest names in sports come here.
This is, to me, the greatest gamble of the whole free agent period. You go out and get Paul George to basically save Russell Westbrook. Everything that's happened this offseason is almost like the re-recruiting of your own star. Gordon Hayward went to Boston because Danny Ainge is thinking to himself, Isaiah Thomas is coming up in a year. I got to show this guy that I'm doing business here. Otto Porter is going to be signed for some crazy amount because John Wall actually could leave in 2 years. This is the new world. Sam Presti of the Oklahoma City Thunder made the biggest gamble there is. He took a guy that might, Paul George, who might not even go stay there and re-sign, very good chance that he doesn't re-sign, in hopes that he shows Russell Westbrook love so Russell Westbrook won't leave his little small market. Sam Presti is either going to be a genius or he's going to go down in a ball of flames next summer.
Talking to the biggest names in sports, ESPN Radio and ESPNRadio.com.
Attention campers, we're going camping!
It's time to go camping with Brian.
He's really good at camping.
Brian takes you around the NFC South for the latest news and headlines from Panthers, Bucks, and Falcons camps. And now, here's Brian.
Hello, campers.
Wait a minute. Your job as Camping with Brian is to tell us the latest on the NFC South, your Yuccaneers, the Falcons, and the Kitty Cats from Carolina. Yet, saw you at practice today.
Yeah, you know, not only was Heath Evans the celebrity in town, so was I.
Right.
So
that's true.
You know, I bless the Saints with my presence and, you know, do some reporting on the Saints today.
Okay, I guess since the NFL Network paid their visit and had exclusive access, like, they got on the field and they were shooting during plays right on the field. I'm like, man, that's ridiculous, man. That's unbelievable. But anyway, that's why they're the NFL Network. They get to do what they do. So it is what it is. Let's see. Lots to get into today, for sure.
Indeed.
For starters, I want to know on your toughness.
Yes.
Joey, our Brian and Nola East left practice, went to the West Bank, and what?
Probably about right around 12-ish is when I got to the West Bank. Had to go and get a root canal done.
A root canal?
Yes. Endodontic Associates over there in Gretna took care of me, and here I am right now, less than an hour.
On the East Bank, on Causeway, 3701 North Causeway.
That would be correct, over here at Toyota of New Orleans.
Lakeside Toyota.
Lakeside Toyota.
Wow. So, that's crazy.
It's called being a soldier, Gus.
I don't understand how you're even here. I would be in bed, in pain.
Well, later on tonight, some may say they can catch me at walk-ons and join a beverage or two as well.
You know what? That's ridiculous. We're all getting together later to kind of talk about the season. Let's talk about the practice. Here are my three quick thoughts of the day. We can discuss these and also some of the other things that we saw, Brian. For one, defense, very vocal and very physical. Two, Fleener a no-show. I'm concerned if it was a head injury. And three, plays of the day, Breeze to Fuller and Adrian Peterson, both were 60-yard plays. Let's start with number one. It's something that you said stood out to you the second you were outside.
Absolutely. The defense has been extremely vocal. I know yesterday you were reporting that, you know, the defense were on the sideline, chanting defense, trying to get everybody involved. But it's not just the idea that they're chanting and, you know, they're hollering for each other. They're guys coaching each other up. So they definitely have the communication going that we've seen. And the last time we saw something of this magnitude with the defense being the way that they are, was 2009 when Greg Williams came in. And you can see that same kind of vibe going on. The defense, you know, they're getting after it. They're vocal. They're cheering each other on. They're coaching each other up. Everybody's getting to the ball. I love what I'm seeing.
Yeah, you know, I mentioned to John Hendricks from Canal Street Chronicles, who we talked to in hour number one. I can still hear Cam Jordan giving props to, we're going to hear from Jordan in his report.
Al-Qadim Muhammad.
Yeah, and you're just saying, hey, good hustle. And the hustle was he was 30, 40 yards downfield.
Absolutely.
Making the play. Right. Yeah. Craig Robertson, you know, yelling that for a linebacker who went down on a play to get up, you don't go down, we don't go down. And he was actually quoted on something that you said that stood out, Brian.
Absolutely. I mean, a couple of skirmishes here and there going on. But, you know, Craig Robinson, one of the guys that said, hey, listen, guys, we got to chill out with this because if we fight, we lose. And that's something that really stood out because he's another vocal leader. We saw A.J. Klein on the sidelines coaching guys up. We see Cam Jordan. We can hear him doing the same. But to see another guy like Craig Robinson stepping up, that's a guy who led the team in tackles last year. You can see the leaders are starting to step up, which is something this team has been missing.
See, that's interesting. I thought he said if we fight, we don't lose. We're kind of talking a little, bowing up or something like that. But it could go either way because right after that, there were some dust-ups going on. And it was getting chippy. It was getting real chippy. And Sean Payton stopped practice.
Indeed.
And he said, quote, some of you guys are too undisciplined to play. Stop the distractions and the foolishness and nonsense. And, Brian, it goes to point number two. We're going to get back to the defense and specifics here. I'm just kind of broadly going. Kobe Fleener, a no-show. Back on Monday, Von Bell hits him over to the middle. It's a good play, but it's a questionable. Today they had the officials, and there were flags and one-on-ones. We're going to get into some of that. But the play probably would have gotten a flag. I thought it was a high hit. It was high on the shoulder and maybe on the helmet and head. It's a concern to me on this basis. I don't know if there's a standard protocol, if you get so many concussions a season, at what point you have to shut down. And the only reason I bring this up is because Damian Swan, PJ, we've had Saints players.
Yes.
After two or three or consecutive weeks in a row, they get a concussion. They are shut down.
Yes.
I'm not saying that's – I'm just saying if you have to report it to the league and if this is what the case is, and let me preface by saying Sean Payton didn't mention it. He didn't want to talk about it today. He said there's nothing to report or nothing new. It's what he said. He didn't give us anything. I don't know if I'm putting two and two together, John said. But the last time we saw him, crossing route, hard hit, and he got ticked off. He had his knee in Von Bell's stomach and didn't get up for a while and kind of, made a point to probably say that dude, what are you doing? It's practice. And I don't think it's coincidence then, Brian, that today it gets chippy. There's some people getting shoved, helmets getting pulled, and Sean Payton stopped it. And that's to me a guy that goes, I already am bleeping losing this guy, and he's not practicing because of this foolishness of trying to show the other person. I don't know. That's how I sort of took it. That said, though, I kind of like that edge. John Hendricks said there's a little demeanor about them that you hadn't seen.
Absolutely. There's a different type of, I believe the little hot word now, swagger. It's a different swagger for the Saints defense right now, which is something that's been missing lately. But as you pointed to, Gus, not having Kobe Fleener out there, Sean Payton doesn't care about the swagger. We need bodies on the field, and we need bodies to perform when the season comes along. And he can't have that type of stuff. So him blowing the whistle, getting on guys, letting them do the knockoff nonsense, exactly what Sean Payton needed to do. And when it comes to Kobe Fleener being out of the lineup right now, that's something that definitely bears watching.
The good thing about it is it leads to quick thought number three is if Kobe Fleener does miss time, this offense is not short on weapons. You've seen it really since the first day of practice. Let's start from the back forward. The running backs, man, I just
legit four deep.
I don't know where you go and what you do. And you saw the run today by Adrian Peterson hit the hole. It was one of the plays of the day. Larry Wolford opening up a gap there, and he just – I mean, you felt the hit, man. When he made contact with the linebackers, they weren't bringing him down. And then he just kept going, and he got to the end zone quick, man.
It's amazing on how fast he can get from 2 to 3 yards deep in the backfield to up on the into the secondary. I mean, it's almost within a few seconds. I mean, he's on the second level before you even blink your eyes, man. And that type of intensity, that physical run, and as you pointed out when we were at practice, I wonder if Drew Brees has, to adjust to that.
Right.
Because Mark Ingram isn't that type of back. Kamara isn't that type of back.
Dude,
so he's never had it.
Two steps, because he's so big and long, too.
Yes, 6'2", 6'3".
It's on the second step. He's taking the handoff.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't know how else to describe it. It's as Drew turns away from the center, Peterson's there. So you better give him the ball, because he's at the line so fast. Mark Ingram, I've been saying on the show, really improving as a pass catcher. We played it earlier from head coach Sean Payton on how he's improved really in the screen area. Coach, on Mark?
Listen, his running skill set is every bit we were wanting, but I think clearly he's developed as a receiver, and his ability to, get out on choice routes or stretch the coverage with, wide routes. I think he understands protections real well, so it's helped him become more of a complete player.
And you saw it a couple times again today, man. He's really doing a solid job. I thought one of the plays yesterday in that one team drill, Brian, where it was a drop pass, you know, pass batted down by Cam Jordan. The only positive play was a play to Willie Snead across the middle, and that was Mark Ingram picking up A.J. Klein, middle blitz, and just met him at the line and allowed Drew Brees to throw that ball. Mark Ingram is becoming the complete back. He's been telling us he wants to be and can be, but now we're seeing it play by play.
The pass catching aspect was really going to change everything for Mark Ingram, because the Saints offense was, you know, quote unquote, predictable by a lot of people. And if you have a guy that's like a Mark Ingram, that's like Adrian Peterson and some of the stuff we saw with him today, as well as Alvin Kamara, you can't signal on anything. So if Mark Ingram's in the game, it's not no longer, okay, the Saints are going to run right, run left, 2 yard run. No, now Mark Ingram can split out wide. He can catch passes out the backfield in a screen game, and he can also run downhill. That's going to be tough for any defense to key on, especially with Brees and the rest of the offensive weapons.
Guess
on
what?
The field.
The only problem is now they got Adrian Peterson and Alvin Kamara. I mean, it's crazy when you think about it. I mean,
the weapons, yes.
Yeah, it really
absolutely
is. And Kamara, you see him lining up as a receiver, making a solid catch. Brees rolling to his right.
Yes.
In red zone offense, it was a low and outside pass, and he went down and caught it, man. Again, he's another weapon.
But the impressive thing is his running ability that people don't give him credit for.
He got in the end zone on a touchdown run.
And it wasn't just a weak little outside run.
I told you.
This is a power run.
Yeah, no, I told you he can do that. That's just the backfield, by the way, folks.
Absolutely.
The receiver, we saw and took some extra notice, and we were jotting down each one-on-one.
On the GOAT?
Yeah, no, not the GOAT. Stop it.
The unstoppable force?
Stop it. We're not.
The MVP of the training camp.
You keep saying that about Brandon Coleman. How many plays did he do anything today?
Oh, that was a one-on-one drill when he, you know, totally caught, you know, a touchdown. So it's just going to ignore that?
Okay, that was a quick snap. The defense wasn't even right.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Did you not see him blocking downfield to open up some of those holes for Adrian Peterson?
Actually, I didn't.
Oh.
I didn't.
Interesting.
But what I did see in that one-on-one red zone drill, and it was just, they were what, at the 10-yard line,
absolutely,
essentially. And it was just back shoulder throws. It was fade routes. It was slants. Michael Thomas, how do you even remotely try to stop that guy? If you have to guard 6 yards or 5 yards in, even though you can jam him with your hands, it just he not only was unstoppable, he separated. How do you separate in 3 yards? I mean, he somehow gets into the end zone and has like a yard or two, and then there's separation. He's really good.
His Twitter name is exactly what it is. You cannot guard Mike.
You can't.
I mean, and the scariest part is he's going into his second year.
Yeah.
This is his second year. I mean, maybe it's that NFL pedigree that Sean Payton loves that we're starting to see on display, because Mike Thomas is an absolute freak.
I'll tell you who else had a solid practice at the receiver position, Tommy Lee Lewis. It's crazy. We've talked about Fuller. We've talked about Coleman, Snead, and, of course, Thomas and Ted Ginn. You saw his speed today get past some guys.
Yeah.
The ball was thrown overhead, but Tommy Lee Lewis had it, and he was the guy that stopped, I guess, all the dust-ups, because he was the one that got in a scrum and then went after somebody, one
absolutely
of the smallest guys on the field. His toughness. Yeah, don't think he doesn't see the numbers and see what's going on, because the other play of the day was Corey Fuller. It was classic Brees. It was the play right after Adrian Peterson took it to the house for 60 yards, right? And the guys are able to shoot it, so you'll see it on the sportscast tonight, if not, because we couldn't use our phones, but
correct,
if not, you – believe me, it would have been a play we would have tweeted already. But right after that, to show you Peterson's condition, he went right back into the huddle.
Absolutely.
And he ran the next play after going 60 yards through people. It was a play-action pass, and it froze the linebackers just enough. Then Brees looks over in our direction to his left, and then he looks a little more to his right. And I'm like, okay, he's reading progressions. And then he completely spins to the right as he's firing to Corey Fuller, streaking down the right sideline. And I elbow you and Jordan go, that is classic Drew Brees and what you saw a Hall of Famer do. He learned from yesterday. He looked off Marcus Williams.
Indeed.
He completely looked off the safety because he looked in the opposite direction the entire time. And the way I know that he was going there the entire time is because when he did, that ball was coming out. As his head hit right, he was hitting Fuller in motion, and it was a touchdown.
I mean, nobody was even going to remotely be close to catching Fuller. That's how pretty the pass was. It was one of those passes to where it's almost like it was indefensible. Good thing for Fuller, he separated because anybody wasn't going to catch him anyway.
Right.
But that's one of the most impressive things about him, his breakaway speed.
Yeah.
I mean, you have a guy that's on him, and before you know it, he's 2-3 steps ahead, and Brees is hitting him in stride.
He passed for 5,000 yards last year.
Indeed.
Offense has never been an issue, yet somehow they've gotten stronger. And what I mean by that is I think they've got more well-rounded. Okay?
Exactly.
I do think Fleener's had a better camp, and he's going to be a little bit better. Josh Hill is stable. I think you got, with the backs, the ability to either. Here's what's important to me with that. I do think, because, and this is why I'm taking the extra time to talk about Ingram, his pass catching ability. Because one of my fears, right, in April, after they drafted Kamara, I'm like, here we go. When we see 41 in the backfield, they're going to throw it to him. Yeah. When we see 28 in the backfield, they're going to run it to him. When we see 22, they're going to run it to him, right? Mm-hmm. Brian, can I do that right now?
Absolutely not. In fact, you might want to get used to the idea of seeing one of those guys split out wide and the defense overreacting to it. Like, okay, right. What's going on right now? We have no idea.
Mark Ingram's been split out as a wide receiver.
Indeed.
Mark Ingram. We saw, you know, we've seen Peterson in the slot. We've seen Kamara as a wideout. I mean, and what's great is you just have to show it on film.
Exactly.
You just have to show it on film. Because now that defensive coordinator has to prep for it. That defensive coordinator has to go, okay, well, is that guy going to go? Now I got to do some reps. Okay, well, is this guy going to catch it? He's not. And again, all you need is a half second in the NFL.
That's it.
A half second
for a guy like Breeze.
Is a yard or two separation. Alex Anzalone, I thought, was great today. The rookie said, you know what was fantastic? He said, the speed of the game is credible. He said, trying to guard somebody in the NFL is the biggest thing he's had to get adjusted to. He said, because every pass is almost perfect.
Yes.
And that's the thing. And he's had good coverage. That if the indecision of a middle linebacker or a safety or a corner of just based on the formation, that's all you need for Mike Thomas to get past you. That's all you need for Ginn to get past you. That's all you need for Breeze to find the open guy because he knows where he's going.
Yes.
And that's what's silly about this is I'm watching practice going, man, I don't know how a defense is going to
do. You and I talked about that part. It's like imagine seeing Adrian Peterson on film for everything you know of him, power runner, you know, guy that can break it 60, 70 yards.
And he comes out the huddle and lines up right next to the tight end.
Like, as a defensive coordinator, how do you prepare for that?
Well, who covers him?
Exactly.
Is it the linebacker?
Do you put a linebacker on? Do you even try to be, great for the safety?
So say he goes and lines up next to the tight end. Is it the Sam?
That would be the strong, Sam linebacker.
Okay, well, then who covers the tight end?
Exactly. So you might have to bring a safety now. You want,
okay, but
anytime
my thing
you want
is,
to
you and I
on
are discussing
safety.
This, it's happening right now. Breeze is already calling a snap count.
And he's already, dictating where he's going to go. So okay. Now you've given him a tell.
Absolutely. And that's what I mean. That's the impressive thing that I've seen right now. And again, I understand it, man. I'm trying to calm down. I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid, but you're seeing what we're seeing at practice. It is a multiple offense of how are you going to be able to line these guys up. And again, you don't need much because we saw in those one-on-one drills in the red zone, the receivers are pretty good to be able to catch these balls. And again, it's just number nine. It's such a difference. It's night and day. The accuracy that he has and what we have, I said at least four times today, and why is he not signed for next year? I mean, that play to Fuller was classic.
Yeah,
he looked off. I mean, it was so fluid, Brian. Saw it. It was in a 1 to 2 seconds. It just look, whee, touchdown. I mean, it was just he ran it to perfection, man. It was impressive. What else stood out today?
Something you alluded to that definitely stands out. It's the idea that Sean Payton is back, and it's not the old Sean Payton, that we saw over after the Bounty years. No, it's the Sean Payton prior to. It's the Sean Payton aggressively encouraging you to get off the field, Sean Payton. It's that Sean Payton. It's the Sean Payton that said, I'm not going to allow the defense to dictate what I do. I'm going to dictate to the defense what they're going to do, and good luck trying to stop me. I love what I'm seeing from Sean Payton. He has a little bit of a bounce in his step as well.
It's funny you say that. I would say in the 7 practices now, you have seen or heard him on more than one occasion stop a practice, redo a team drill, before a team drill, say, and I can hear it in my head, receivers and guards, I better not see an offsides. I mean, he realizes, again, last year, Kansas City, they lost the game because they couldn't stay on sides and kept going offsides.
Yes.
They've lost games because of penalties. They've lost games because of alignment, not being ready. And you keep hearing defensive guys over and over and over again. What's the number one thing? It's understanding the down and situations. That's the one thing that's really stood out to me more than anything. And I want to play this one quick bite for you, Brian, before we go to a break, and then we can move on. But it's Kenny Vaccaro, and I asked him specifically because I said, look, it's very easy right? It's very easy to say, hey, the defense stinks. They need to improve. They got to get better. Okay, so I asked him, you know, specifically, do you need to do, especially in this division? I mean, you're facing the Falcons and Noodle Arm. You're facing McCaffrey. I mean, the Panthers can't stop showing enough videos of McCaffrey juking linebackers and people out of their shoes, right?
Right.
You know, in the Buccaneers, everyone already has them in the postseason. I mean, absolutely, they have them as a wild card team. So what specifically, I asked Kenny back over the weekend, what specifically does this defense need to do?
Situational awareness. We need to be a team that understands what to do in the red zone, what do teams like to do during 2 minutes, what are teams doing at the end of the game, halftime, what's the down and distance, are we up, are we down, situations like that. Is it fourth and one, you know? And that comes with veteran guys being on the field. When you're a rookie, you really don't understand those things. I remember my rookie year, I was out there with my head cut off, just flying around, hitting people. Didn't matter to me. But as I've got older, I've realized you can start eliminating what the offense is trying to do based on the situation, the formation, and what time of the game it is.
Holy moly. Dude, as he was saying that, that was 34 seconds of me, A, pulling my hair out, B, smiling, and C, going hallelujah, and D, give me a cold beer. Because he just described in 34 seconds why the Saints have been 7-9 the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. He just described why the Saints last year lost games they could have won.
Doesn't
literally,
he sound,
because
he sound
you
like
saw
a Sean Payton guy now.
Yeah, well, you saw certain instances where his defense did do some good things, and then you're sitting there going, "What are you doing? It's fourth and one. Why are you going offside?" Still, you know, it's just it's things like that. It's what he said: situational awareness. Quick break. We'll come back. We're live at Lakeside Taylor. As you can see, I'm way past the break because I can't shut up. It's so much to talk about and so much to get into. We're 1 week away before Joey's dreaded Cleveland Browns host your New Orleans Saints. Oh yeah, next Thursday we'll have some sort of bet that he'll have to do on Friday because there's no way. No way those dogs are beating the Hoodats. No way. Even if it's preseason, we'll have a little fun with that. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans.
It's time to have fun, so come on in. Come on in and win. It's magic.
Cash Magic.
Come and feel the magic.
Cash Magic.
Where winners play both night and day. Cash Magic.
Video poker players know. There's a difference at Cash Magic, a big difference. At your local Cash Magic Casino, you'll have fun playing the newest games while enjoying our fast and friendly VIP service.
Cash Magic Casinos always have the newest games.
The service is just great.
It's a very friendly place. They really do make you feel like a VIP.
Come have some fun. Let us make you a VIP with our fast and friendly service. It's the Cash Magic difference. Video poker at its best. Come feel the magic today at one of our 7 Cash Magic Casinos in Southeast Louisiana. Louisiana's favorite place to play video poker, Cash Magic.
You'll always be a VIP, Cash Magic.
Must be 21 or older. Valid ID required. Gambling problem? 877-770-STOP.
The New Orleans Baby Cakes return to the Shrine August 3rd through August 6th against the El Paso Chihuahuas. Thirsty Thursday brings $2 beers brought to you by Budweiser.
Play ball!
Friday, it's Cancer Awareness Night. Free seats to any cancer survivor. Saturday, we bring the magic of Harry Potter. $5 tickets to anyone wearing Harry Potter costumes. Sunday, come play pregame catch on the field and kids run the bases, courtesy of tobacco-free living and Good Humor ice cream. Visit cakesbaseball.com for more details.
At SL Bank, personal service has been and will continue to be our signature. But we've embraced technologies that can enhance our customers' lives, including our newly released SL Bank mobile app. This free service allows you to bank on the go using your smartphone or tablet. Simply enroll and download our mobile banking app from the App Store. It's just another way SL Bank is making your banking better. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender. Message and data rates may apply.
Tailgating is one of the most popular weekend activities for families during football season, and if you want to be the culinary bad boy on your tailgating circuit, then you need to shop at Frank's Supermarket. Get your game day meat, steak, sausage, burgers, hot dogs, or barbecue sauce for grilling. They have it all. Load up on craft beer, soft drinks, and ice at Frank's Supermarket. So show up at the tailgate with more than your game face on. Show up with supplies from Frank's Supermarket. Locations in Golden Meadow, LaRose, Lockport, and Des Almonds.
What are you waiting for?
Pick up the phone.
We want you to be on the show.
Now back to The Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Another day, another practice in the books. Head coach Sean Payton's thoughts on it.
It's hard to play this game, you know, without the right enthusiasm and temperament. And, you know, even during the course of a game, there's momentum swings that you've got to be able to respond to. And I think, you know, part of it is attitude and getting on to the next play and you know, controlling what you can control once a play is taking place, make the corrections. But, no, I thought the energy was good. And we've had some good competitive practices.
Gus Kattengill, Brian Enola East, back live at Lakeside Toyota. It's our Thursday tailgater, 3701 North Causeway, 800-998-1003 is the number to call. You can chime in via Twitter at ESPN Radio Nola as well. Any questions, comments, we'll pass them along as well. As you just heard Coach kind of touch on the enthusiasm, it's from yesterday, the defense clapping on their helmets in unison, chanting defense for the squad that was on the field. You mentioned Cam Jordan, Craig Robinson. There's competition at all of these positions for jobs. Some of these guys are going to get cut.
Absolutely.
There's 90 right now, not on defense, but 90 overall, and there's only 53 that's going to be kept.
Right.
Yet I see, you know, and again, I err on the side of caution in what I'm about to say. But I walked up to you at practice. I said, you know what this reminds me of a certain time and period in Saints history that probably was the biggest defensive turnaround, and it led to a Super Bowl. I said it kind of looked like that training camp with Greg Williams.
Are you starting to come onto the dark side? Are you starting to get into the two-that form? Because who was saying this over before the offseason?
Joey, I don't remember.
You know what that is.
I know.
Elgato Nero.
Oh, that's. Here's the thing. You did say a lot of similarities were coming in. You kept going to that, you know, to that for the championships and all that. But look, but isn't it right? I mean, it was a directive. In those one-on-one passing drills before they went to the red zone, I joked. I said, there's another flag. There's another flag. And then I grabbed Jordan's by the shirt and I said, come here. What do you notice? And, you know, Jordan being the intern goes, it's a pass. Yeah, he goes, it's a pass. I'm like, yes, it is a pass. And I said, but do you notice that's like the fifth or sixth play in a row that the receivers are being mugged? I mean, it was the Seattle Seahawks secondary that we saw in that one-on-one drill. Am I lying? It was, it was immediately off the line. They're grabbing the arms. They're pulling them down. They are completely disrupting the receiver.
Absolutely.
And there came the yellow hanky. I mean, they're grabbing the jersey. It was chin strap. I mean, there wasn't a part of the white jersey on the offense that the defensive player was not doing or grabbing or tugging at. And you said he's probably trying to see how far they can go. Where's the flag? Where's it not? And I told Joe, and I said, it is a clear directive from D.A. and Aaron Glenn, Dennis Allen and Aaron Glenn, you know, the secondary's coach. I said, they are absolutely telling these guys to be physical at the line. There's no doubt. I mean, there's one or two, that's that guy, right? When Delvin Bro first came into the league, his hands were all over. People were like, guys, you can't be that physical in the NFL. Canadian football, yeah, maybe. Brian, everybody from Mollett to Damian Swan to P.J. Williams,
Ken Crawley.
There wasn't a defensive back that didn't get flagged. And people might be going, oh, great, it's the curse of Brandon Browner. No.
This was purposely done.
Yeah, Brandon Browner is I got beat, and I can't, you know, I can't cover anybody, and then at the end, pass interferes. No. This is at the line of scrimmage, right when the ball is snapped. I mean, it is a physical style of cornerback play, and it's clearly a directive.
I think it was done for two reasons. Number one is exactly what you said. It's to see what can you get away with. Let's get up close. Let's get as physical as we can. Let's see what the refs are going to allow us to do. That's for the defensive side. For the receivers, learn how to beat this jam, because this is what Seattle's going to do you. This is what Atlanta wants to do you. That's what Carolina does.
This is the MO on how to beat the Saints receivers.
Exactly. You got to get physical with them. Well, what better way to combat that than to learn how to be physical yourself? That's why we saw plays in which they got into the red zone and Mike Thomas was beating the jam at the line of scrimmage and separating himself from the defenders.
I mean, we even saw your boy Brandon Coleman get on one, Ted Ginn get on another. I mean, I thought for sure. I mean, every play could have been a flag, either
Absolutely.
Offensive or defensive pass interference. There's that much hand jostling going on. And I think at the end, when you look at that, it is going to benefit. The other thing I had you keep an eye on, because you hadn't gone to the last two.
Mm-hmm.
I said, all right, you've had a couple of days. You saw the first three. You hadn't seen the last two. You came back today. Brian, your thoughts on the battle at the offensive line?
Well, let's just be clear about this. I don't want to make it seem like there's a battle going on anymore for left tackle. That's Ron Ramczyk's job. That's for him. I mean, Khalif Barnes is going to get in with the second team. He's
sure.
going to, you know, he's going to, but it's Ramczyk's job. Unfortunately for him, he got beat, and he got beat like a drum today, and it was repeated. I mean, you know, maybe it's him hitting the rookie wall, a couple of good practices, maybe you're starting to feel yourself a little bit more, but Alex Okafor was giving him the business, and it was clear as day. I mean, it wasn't one of those times where you got beat and you bounced back. Now, this was on repeated plays, maybe three, four in a row. Alex Okafor was getting the best of him, and I mean, hey, he's a pro. He's supposed to.
One of the things that I did notice about Ramczyk, though, is he learns quickly from
Absolutely.
Something, and I thought what was interesting was Halohi Kakaha after practice volunteered that he and Ryan have a great relationship and they talk every day about what they're going to do to each other and what they've done to each other. And I'm like, you know, that's genius. If
Absolutely.
I'm a defensive end, I'm going to come up to you after practice and be like, okay, what are you trying to do? And he said they talk about that day's practice, not what they're going to do the next day.
Right.
He's like, we'll talk afterwards. This was my goal. This is what I was trying to do today, trying to help the rookie.
Mm-hmm.
Let him know. Because clearly, like you said, today they tried something different on him. That's the
yes.
most success they've had. And I don't want people panicking right now
not
listening
at all.
Going,
not at all.
Uh-oh. Look, he did get beat, but it's the outside rush. They must have found something, and they've done something to counter, I think, Ramczyk's strength, and that is you can't go at him.
No.
I think you're going to have – yes, you're going to have to go around him. And Okafor's on that, and Kikaha. And, again, you go back to what he said today. Hollow, he said, we're starting to move. Sean Payton, after practice, said he sees Kikaha starting to get back up to football speed
yeah.
and doing that and his wheels. So, you know, and, again, I mean, my goodness, you can't win every single snap.
Not at all.
I mean, Willie Rofe got beat for sacks, and he's in the Hall of Fame. So let's not overdo it. But that said, I'm going to be interested tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
How does he respond on that? Because he did get beat on sometimes, but it just goes to, again, to the position that Sean Payton said. It's got to improve. He said whether it's Kikaha, whether it's Okafor, or there's anybody else that they have out there, it's got to improve on the outside.
And that's something key that we should point out as well, because it wasn't Kikaha getting him on. It was Alex Okafor this time. I mean, you know, Kikaha may have beat him once. But Ramczyk was able to kind of stymie that a little bit. But now you got Okafor going up against him. If you're going to keep seeing guys, you know, body after body after body, it's only going to make the rookie better. So today was actually a great day for
it's
him.
It's a learning day.
It's a learning day.
Because you just mentioned he's a veteran. Okafor is doing his homework, too. He's in that meeting room with the defensive line coach going, you're not beating a rookie. What is wrong with you?
Absolutely.
Why can't you get past him? You're not going to make the football team. He's getting that, too. He's playing for his snaps. Because today was the third day in a row that Kikaha
mm-hmm.
started with the first unit. Also,
exactly.
that I find very interesting. I want to say it's the second, if not third day. And I'm trying to keep an eye on if there's an injury issue. Again, it's just a rotating thing, and it may not be a bad thing. Sheldon Rankins,
mm-hmm.
Cam Jordan, Kikaha, Tyler Davidson
mm-hmm.
instead of Onyemata.
Yeah. I'm thinking that it's going to be a rotational thing. Let's see who can do what.
I agree.
Especially because from the practices yesterday, you saw Trey Hendrickson move inside. Today, it was also Okafor moving inside for a few snaps. So, basically, it looks like the Saints are just trying to say, let's get our four best guys on the field if it's going to be a pass rush situation. Today was a lot of nickel. Let's see if we can get our four best rushers on the field, and let's see what happens after that.
Look, Onyemata's had a solid training camp. I think they're just trying to get him some snaps
mm-hmm.
and trying to get Davidson, who, look, I mean, was a draft pick last year and – you know, didn't yeah. get to play, you know, with injuries and stuff. So let's see what he can do. So I think what you've seen is that rotational thing. Final segment coming up. Let's actually hear from David Onyemata when we come back as well. His thoughts on how he thinks he's doing. You're listening to the Sports Hangover final segment on ESPN New Orleans.
this Black and Gold Training Camp Report, sponsored by Direct Tire Town at 1000 North Causeway Boulevard in Metairie. Direct Tire Town, your first choice for all your automotive needs.
It's not the sexiest of areas on a football team, but just last season, you saw the importance of having a good special teams. Will Lutz has improved and looks solid at kicker. Now, as to who's going to hold the ball for him, well, head coach Sean Payton surprised most by saying it's an open battle between Chase Daniel and punter Thomas Morstead.
Well, it's just like many of the other positions. Obviously, here's the benefit of the punter. The benefit of the punter is there's a lot of time on task that he has with the kicker when we're in other drills. Benefit of the quarterback, besides the ability to throw the football if something were to happen or if you wanted to, is, you know, there's a little bit more of an experienced, you know, guy who's used to calling plays that's in the huddle that can calm the group down. Those are the two guys we're looking at right now, and you know, I'm anxious just to see back and forth, you know, how the two of them are doing.
Returner is open as well. Coach's take on the battle?
Look, ultimately, you get in the scrimmage or the preseason, and you really get a feel for, you know, the full speed cover guys coming down and how you can focus and what you can do with the ball when you have it. So the main focal point, technique, and you know, really setting your feet and learning wind, learning sun, learning all these elements that you got to pay attention to. You know, Cleveland, you got to pay attention if you're a returner. It's different. You know, you look up and everyone in the crowd's wearing a jersey the same color as the ball. So you got to learn how to track a ball differently there than you would somewhere else. Those are all some of the things that, you know, we got to be on top of.
We are just 1 week away from the Saints at the Browns to open the preseason. For more Black and Gold coverage, follow us on Twitter at ESPN Radio NOLA, our Facebook page, and ESPN1003.com.
This Black and Gold Training Camp Report has been brought to you by Direct Tire Town at 1000 North Causeway Boulevard in Metairie. Reliable service for competitive prices. Direct Tire Town in Metairie.
Direct Tire Town in Metairie knows that when it comes to servicing your automobile, 100% satisfaction is the bottom line. For almost 50 years, Freddie May and his expert staff of mechanics have delivered satisfaction from AC and brakes to installation of the top brands in tires. Conveniently located at 1000 North Causeway Boulevard, make Direct Tire Town your new auto repair company. Reliable, trustworthy, and 100% satisfaction. That's the bottom line at Direct Tire Town in Metairie.
It's that time of year at Lakeside Toyota. It's tailgating season. Time to drop the tailgate and prices on every new 2017 Tundra. The Tundra is ready to get you to the big game in style. Plus, its spacious cabin will carry your team to the game in comfort. Lakeside Toyota is loaded up with a huge selection of tough Tundras. Every model, every configuration, and a Tundra to fit every budget. And of course, 2 years no-cost maintenance with any new purchase. Shop and save at LakesideToyota.com. Come down and tailgate at the foot of the causeway, Lakeside Toyota.
Good afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
So let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to The Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
So during the break, Joey, back in the LaRose studio, says, hey, can we come back just for you? Speaking about my Cleveland Browns, you've never been able to... Wait, can't play that song in
we
reference to the Cleveland
We are the
Browns?
Best pro team in Cleveland.
Oh, come on.
In football. Yeah. Not baseball.
I don't know.
We're going to beat them Saints.
Brian and Ola East. Anything in the NFC South before we let you go?
Nothing going on right now. I haven't even really been out there to check it out. But I will say this.
You did pass. You were in Atlanta this weekend.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. Got a few pictures of myself in front of, you know, Bird's Nest.
That Bird's Nest is nice.
Yeah. I mean, it's massive.
I know.
It's massive.
I know. It really is a shame that New Orleans doesn't have a billion-dollar stadium.
Right there where the convention center, you know, just in that area. Just
gorgeous, state-of-the-art, modern. Now, again, I mean, the fact that it's $1 billion may have something to do with it, but look, I've said this before, it has nothing to do with the Falcons.
No.
That's the SEC championship game.
Oh, yeah.
It's the SEC championship game, the kickoff game, the Peach Bowl and all that. The SEC championship game and all that stuff is one of the reasons they upgraded that thing. It has nothing
Absolutely.
To do with your Dirty Birds. David Onyemata, he was asked, hey, look, the fact that a lot of people are looking at you in that position, obviously, to replace Nick Fairley. Do you feel any pressure about that?
Not really, because it's like the way it happened. Like no one expects none of that. But it's a next man, you know, next man up kind of thing. I'd say, yeah.
So, you know, here's one of the other things, too, that you do see that I thought was interesting is pressure in that backfield. Brian, you've seen it a lot of, at these practices. Jordan here as well, too. You've seen him getting in the backfield. You have seen him. I'm jotting down 93 a lot in my notes. You know, I'm jotting down 93 a lot in my notes. Is it easier coming to you, or has it become easier for you to rush that passer?
As of right now, I would say both. Yeah, I would say both, because it's like you can't be a one. 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 You can't be a one.